Hey, freedom seeker. Let's face it, entrepreneurship takes a heavy toll on our minds and bodies. If we aren't careful, we can end up down and out before we even reach our goals. When I interviewed Carl Pradelli, the founder of Nature City, I knew I wanted to share his brand with you. Carl is meticulous about sourcing honest, quality ingredients. Unlike many big name supplement companies that cut corners to save costs, Nature City has never wavered from offering the highest quality possible. You need to take care of your body if you want to keep your business running, right? So head over to naturecity.com/freedom to see their full lineup of supplements. And while you're there, check out TrueMind. What I love about TrueMind is that it promotes sustained mental energy for up to 5 hours without a crash. It's exactly what you need to stay productive without the jitters. Keep your wits about you, friend. Keep your mind sharp. Go to naturecity.com/freedom and get 15% off your order today. That's naturecity.com/freedom. Hey, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, and joining me today is Rihanna Malia, who is the founder of Clear to Create Your Very Best Life. And my friends, listen, we all know that as entrepreneurs, we're high capacity humans. We're the kind of people that are willing to take a risk, bet on ourselves, and do whatever it takes to succeed. We just are wired that way. Let's get real, right? But what happens a lot of times in that mix is that what we think we want and what we're actually really seeking, if we get true with ourselves, sometimes there's a little bit of a gap, and some clarity can help us burst through that bubble and actually get that goal that we're seeking to achieve. And that's what Rihanna is going to show us how to do today. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey friend, it's Lindsay. Pause with me for just a second. You're listening to this podcast right now, and maybe you've listened to a dozens or hundreds of episodes. Maybe you've just even done all the things. You've bought the courses, bookmarked articles, joined the Facebook groups, all because you know you need reoccurring income. It's something that's been weighing on you for a while. You might have heard me talk about it, the someday dream. Well, we're going to make this the today action. It's time to get moving. And here's the thing. You've got all the information at your fingertips. And the fact of the matter is, you don't need any more information. You're drowning in information. What you really are starving for is clarity. Everybody in the world is teaching you what to build. And YouTube is full of how-tos. But nobody is helping you figure out which one fits your business, your lifestyle, your actual audience. Which model makes sense for you? How do you know if people are going to pay for it? Where do you even start? Those are not questions that another podcast episode can answer. You, my friend, need clarity, and that's what I created for you. It's a free guide. It's called Earn 5K per month on repeat. 5 simple steps that help you figure out what you should build to get that reoccurring income flowing. And it's not just what everybody else is building. It's what makes sense for your business. Because here's the truth. You don't need more information. You need to see your specific path forward. That is clarity. And that's what this guide does. So text the word freedom to 55444 and I will send it straight to you. Again, that's freedom to 55444. It's time to stop listening to all the things and start building. Okay, but definitely keep listening to this one episode, shall we? The point is, the next step is waiting for you in the guide. So take action, get that guide sent to you, and let's build something together. All right, back to the episode.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. Well, please kick it off. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how did you get into this work in the first place?
Absolutely. So the journey to this work, like all of us, there's always things that happen. And I think it's really important to just call out that when we're talking about gratitude, we often talk about the things that are great, that we're so grateful for. But the truth is, we have to be grateful for it all, because that's what really refines us and gets us to where we are. So I married young, divorced. We had our miracle baby. Maddie was 6. The divorce turned very volatile. I did all the things I was told to do. I talked about it in therapy. I talked about it with my girlfriends. I read the books. I did the thing. All beneficial, but kind of keeps you in the story, in the drama, hard to really move forward. Fast forward 3 years, my father, who had been very in and out of my life, I didn't grow up with him. He is this man that creates incredible beauty, and he's so charismatic, but he also is like diehard narcissist. So there's not a lot of trust there. He came to visit. We lived in Minnesota, and it's been one of those winters where it was like 40 below zero many days. And I'm an island girl. I'm not built for Minnesota winters. And I had horses, and Maddie and I were living in this little farmhouse in Afton, Minnesota, and I had horses and chickens, and it was fabulous. But the pump broke, like the metal just snapped because it was so cold. So for like the entire rest of winter, I had to run a hose through a window, attach it to the washing machine, water the horses, snake out. I was over it. And quite frankly, it sounded like a great idea. So he comes and he says, "Listen, I think it's the perfect time. You guys should move to California." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to just move on a whim. I'm only going to disrupt Maddie's life once. I moved around a lot as a child, and it's not grounding and settling. It's quite the opposite." And I said, "You know, my mom had just had a surgery, and she did nails for a living, and they nicked a nerve, and she couldn't use her arm. So I'm not leaving my mom. I'm not leaving the horses, and I'm only doing this once, and I'm not doing it on one of your fabulous stories." He said, "Got it. Great. Here's the assets. Here's the business. You can come do with it what you want. Bring your mom. Bring the horses. We'll build a barn. It's going to be amazing." So, against everything that I knew to be the right decision, I said, "Okay, great." And I packed up my daughter, my mom, two horses, three cats, drove across the country, moved to California, didn't know a single person here. Not long after, few months, first few months felt like a fairy tale, family dinners. And, you know, my parents have been divorced for 40 years, 45 years, but just fun to have, you know, like we were all hanging out. It was great. One morning I was in the studio getting ready for this guy. He was picking up all the mailers to do holiday. And I heard some noise and I looked around the corner and all of a sudden there was, I don't know how many, six, eight, nine, I don't know, men with guns pointed at me and put me in handcuffs. And as I'm sitting there not having any idea what's going on in the moment, I keep thinking like, "I have to call my mom. She's going to be home with Maddie and her little friend in a few minutes. And I have to tell them to go somewhere else." And they're like, "You're not calling anyone." Long story short, I found myself in the middle of a DEA investigation.
Oh my
And
gosh.
there had been clearly a lot of stuff going on that I was not aware of. So now I have a decision to make. I now have no money, no business. They froze the assets. This whole thing went on for 2+ years. This idea of this relationship with my father and having this family, you know, solid unit for Maddie out the window. And I had to decide, do I take us back to Minnesota, which I totally could have, or do I keep my promise to her and break generations of no integrity and breaking promises with children? And at the end of the day, that was the most important thing to me. So we stayed. And hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt later, and doing all the things to keep life going, I decided that it was probably a great time to date. First time really since my divorce. So, you know, things are really good. I should probably get into a relationship for the first time. And so I did. I went on the dating app. It was a Monday night at like 9 o'clock. I was sitting there having a glass of wine. And all of a sudden, you know, that you can get bombarded. I don't know if you've ever had to be on a dating app, but it's like you go on there and there's like 40,000 people sending you messages. And you know, whatever, most of them you weed out. There was one, seemed interesting. I went on a date. I knew in the, again, it's not even like red flag moments. It's like moments, Lindsay, where you're standing in New York City and all the digital billboards are screaming at you. No. But there's a story. There's a fear. There's clearly something wrong with me, right? My marriage didn't work out. Like what father does that to his daughter and granddaughter? Like all of these things. And I had the story that, you know, maybe this is it. So I went on a date. It was nothing. I mean, there was not anything about it that was like amazing, but it was that insecurity and that sense of, you know, something inherently broken. So I went on another date, and all of a sudden found myself in this relationship with this person who was very abusive. And it took me a long time to get out of it, not physically, but in all the other ways. And it was at that moment where I was like, "I'm done." Like all of this stuff, looking at, you know, the things that keep showing up in my world, and also being consumed by either the anger for what my father had done, or the sadness about what he had done and the, marriage that didn't work out and putting myself in this position. And it was at that point that I started doing some research, and I found a little something, some timeline work that then became the basis for this work that I'm called to do in the world. And so I created it for me first, and now have this incredible honor of helping hundreds of women around the world understand that it's a lot of it's just old wiring. And on the other side of that, 2 years ago, married the greatest love of my life, which I never thought would happen for me, but would have never happened had I not done this work. And had I not been, put in handcuffs with guns drawn, like all of it brings us to today. And the methodology comes from the fact that, my tagline has always been your very best life, in the sense that whether we've been best friends for 20 years or we've known each other for 20 minutes, I want you to live your version of that. And that's a different story for everybody. But you can't just go from being held by all this past stuff, childhood trauma, failed marriages, crazy businesses, guns drawn, like all of the things through our life. You can't just go from that to living your very best life. It doesn't work that way.
That's true.
You have to clear before you can create, right?
And sometimes, like, the life isn't just falling down around you. It just feels very normal. Like, your bills are slightly behind. You're doing all the right things in your business, and it's just not popping for you. Well, meanwhile, you see everybody else, and everything seems to be working out great for them, but why not you? And you know that you're doing something, you're doing it. You're putting your face forward. You're showing up. You're going through the motions, taking the kids to school, all the things, but it just feels heavy. It doesn't necessarily have to be as maybe dramatic as what it felt like in the moment for you. Because I think that's probably one of the hardest parts, is when life just feels normal, but not good. You know what I mean?
And that's for the most part, right? Like, most people aren't in crisis like that. It's like, my life is fine. I'm healthy. My kids are good. Like, but it's fine. I know that there's something more meant for me in my life, whatever. And it's either not knowing what that is or having no idea how to get there. And so when we look at that, right, we have to clear the story to create the life. You want a different story, you have to stop telling the old one. And we have to clear the cycles to create the confidence. Oftentimes, when we're, in transition or questioning what's next, or, whatever it is, we start to not trust ourselves and our decisions. And is that right? Is that a good thing to do? Is that not a good thing to do? I thought I knew, but look how that turned out, right? That was a horrible business decision or a horrible relationship. And everything in the world is cyclical, including all the stuff that keeps showing up in our lives. So we have to clear those cycles to really get you to anchor back into having that confidence again. And we have to clear the patterns to create the partnerships. We all want, like, genuine, amazing, fulfilling partnerships professionally, personally, romantically, all the things. But if we don't clear the patterns, which is running the show on the unconscious and the subconscious, we don't get those partnerships. We get more of the same. You marry the same person over and over, or date the same person over and over, find yourself within business partnerships, the same thing happens over and over. And it's not by chance, right? There's a reason for that. And we have to clear the resentment to get the results. So many high achieving women almost get what they want, and then they never quite get there. So that's kind of the umbrella of what the work is based on.
Awesome. So why do you think that it is an affliction for high achieving entrepreneurs, let's say, more so?
Which specifically, which affliction?
The needing to clear the resentments, or getting to that point where you're almost there, but not quite all the way, like, do you see that as a pattern with it? You've mentioned, I guess, we'll call it a stereotype, even though we'll just say it's a truth that certain people are wired to be high achievers, right? High capacity. We say the word high achievers, but we don't necessarily mean we're shooting for that gold star. Sometimes it's just like, I'll use myself as an example. I spent 20 years in the car business. I was in upper management. I was managing my home, building my life, working a business on the side. Like, to me, getting a small time job was boring. Okay. So it's the kind of people who are wired to do many things at one time, who have big dreams and goals, who are really like an elephant with their energy, just pushing that energy forward, with intention, with a set intention and a vision. But you're saying that many of them, they like can get so far, and then I don't know, they burn out, however it looks in their life, like they collapse, they end up needing to pivot, they change a lot. I hear a lot of times with entrepreneurs, they build something up, it's thriving, it's successful, but it's killing them on the inside, so they tear it down and start over. That's a big repeat pattern that comes up with entrepreneurship. So I'm just curious, why do you think that happens more with high capacity humans than, I guess, other breeds?
Great question. I love that. Other breeds. So think about that, right? All the things that you talked about. So we have identities that we're attached to, and high capacity human beings, part of our identity is, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. Okay, let me take that on. Let me fix that. Let me, all those pieces. And that's part of our identity. However, at a certain point, sometimes the identity that we're operating from was something from 15 years ago that we've never actually reconciled. And you can only get so far there. And it's not about reading another book or taking a course or learning a skill or being able to outthink it, because we're so used to that. We can solve it. We can figure it out. We're resourceful. We're smart. We can, But at a certain point, again, it's not about doing anything. And clearly, if you could have done it on your own, you would have. It's like gardening and just plucking the top off of some weeds, they're going to grow right back. It's why at a certain point you can't solve these things from the conscious state. You have to solve them in the subconscious or the unconscious, because you cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. That's why we have to tap into that other 90%, where we get to rewire, blow out that neurology and that strategy and those behaviors. And, as an identity architect, go, okay, who are you now? Like, who are you now? Not 15 years ago, not 20 years ago, not when your babies were little. Like, who are you now? And who is she? And who are you becoming? And let's create your life that aligns with her and not the her from 15 years ago. Does that make sense?
I like what you said. You can't outthink it. And I think I always like to use myself as an example when I'm talking to people, because I think it creates a good dynamic conversation and also enlightens people to what could be going on inside of them. But it's easy. I think for us, we like to solve problems. It's why crime shows are so, and this is just in general, humanity in general, crime TV, which I can't let myself get into because I'm too empathic, but I could see why it's so powerful. Or even just those TikToks of ladies that do their makeup and talk about a story. We want to close a loop, right? And our brain will obsess on that. And especially if we're good at strategy, like if we're inclined to be a thinker, because in business, a lot of times you are having to lean into that. And that's your brain is what works for your clients, right? Well, the question becomes, why is it working great for so many other people, but maybe not as good for you? What is the hang up? So what I'm hearing you say is there's an alternative path to, I guess, move forward and move through that. So why don't you maybe share a little bit about what that looks like?
Sure. So just for context, in case somebody's listening and they're not quite sure about the whole conscious unconscious mind, I just want to give a little bit of context. So if you think about your body, everything from the neck up is your conscious mind, right? It's our goal setter. It's everything we know. It's our critical faculties. We use it all day long. It's 10%. So that's the thinking, the doing, the strategy, all the things. Everything from the neck down then is the unconscious or the subconscious, the other 90%. So if the conscious is our goal setter, the unconscious is the goal getter. It's the operating system. It's the general. It's also the literal library of everything you've ever experienced in your entire life, held at a cellular level, right? So we know now that memory is cellular, and we think about it as being in the brain, which of course it lives in the circuitry, but it is cellular. And when it's held on to and not released in a proper way, we see things manifest in the body, right? Illness, injury, anxiety, depression, all the things. And when you think about negative emotion throughout your life, I want you to think about every single one of them has a ribbon, their own ribbon. And every single time in life, when you have a significant emotional experience with anger, A marble goes on that ribbon. With shame, a marble goes on that ribbon. So today, when something happens, it's not the today thing. It's the 30, 40, 50, 60 years of marbles behind it. And one of parts of this of my process is we get to release that in a way that doesn't go back into any conscious memory of anything that was painful. We're not going back to the thing that happened when you were five, when someone told you, asked too many questions, so you decided to be loved, you had to be quiet. We're not doing that. We're not going back into anything that's conscious, but we get to clear that so that you get to release all of that and actually have space for what's meant for you. It's like, pantries or our closets or whatever, they're shoved full of crap and there's no room for anything else. Or if you try to put something else, the new thing that you want just falls on the floor, the bottle breaks, right? So, like a few months ago, I took everything out of my pantry and I put it in the kitchen and I cleaned it out and I threw away expired pasta boxes and half open crackers and I threw all that away and then I put what was left back and it was so organized. It made me feel like Christmas. I loved the feeling. But it's the same in here. If we don't get rid of the expired ways of operating and thinking and behaving and functioning, there's not room to actually be able to experience, call in the opportunities, the resources, the people, the relationships, whatever that are actually meant for you.
I love it. So, could you walk us through a little exercise to help us like taste a little bit of how you help people?
Sure. So oftentimes, and I think this is true for all humans, we find ourselves, noticing patterns, some things that, aren't working in our life in the way that they could or should. And when we think about the unconscious and the conscious mind, it's important to understand that every day we think between 65,000 and 85,000 thoughts. 90% of those thoughts are recycled, right? They're the same things you thought about yesterday and 2 weeks ago and last month and in the middle of the night when you're running through all the what ifs and it's, the same things. And the problem there is that the majority of those thoughts are negative. And I get a lot of pushback on this because my clients are brilliant, amazing human beings. And they're like, nope, I'm so good on mindset. I'm rock solid on mindset. However, what you don't realize is most of the time you're thinking about all the things you don't want, right? I don't want to be in a relationship where I don't feel cherished. I just feel like I'm, I don't want to live with a roommate. I don't want to be in a this freaking debt in my business. I don't want to be in this job that I hate. I don't. Well, the issue there is the unconscious mind, it doesn't hear the qualifying don't. All it knows is what you're focused on. And it's why people end up in the same situations over and over and over again, whether it's relationships, money, health, doesn't matter. And there's something that I do with my private clients that I call it the magnet for miracles exercise. And I want you to think about your life, right? Everything in your physical, tangible life, everything you can see, feel, hear, touch, smell, all the things. And think about the things that aren't working in the way that you want them to. And imagine that as a cake. And if we bake a cake and it doesn't taste good, what are we going to do to bake a better cake? Gonna look at the ingredients, right? So as humans, we're governed by four states: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. The cake is the physical. Our life is the cake. So what's going on spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and it all starts here. And so here's what we're gonna do. All you need is two pieces of paper and a rubber band, but it can't be a soft rubber band. It has to be like the office one so that when you snap it, it's gonna sting, okay? And we're gonna make two lists. One, on the top of the first page, I want you to write the word away. And on the second page, I want you to write the word toward. Now, we're going to imagine those as walls. If you're sitting in a room, you have, four walls, left, right, in front of you, behind you. And I want you to imagine that one of those walls is your away wall. And on that wall, whatever that wall is for you, is everything you don't want in life. Ever, more of, again, doesn't matter, just all the things. And I want you to write all of it down. If you need more pieces of paper, go for it. The other list, your toward wall, wherever that is for you, is everything you do want for yourself, your life, your business, your relationships. And not in a reasonable, logical way, like, oh, I'm too old for that, or oh, that, blah, blah, blah. No. Hearts, desires, goals, wishes, dreams, magic wand, fairy dust, all of it goes on there. So now we have these two lists, and I want you to do something so you have access to them. So what I always suggest is take a picture of them on your phone, pin them in your notes app or at the top of your photos, whatever it is, so that you can have access to them. And what you're going to do is you're going to put a rubber band around your wrist, and over the course of the next 72 hours, we're going to rewire your neurology of what you're thinking about. So here's what's going to happen. If we have the rubber band on, we're going through our life, and J1, it's unlikely that you'll probably snap it very much at all because you're so used to functioning like this, right? This is you go throughout your day. This is what you do. You're like, ugh, whatever. You don't even notice it. But at some point during that day, you will notice either specifically that you're kind of spiraling about something, or you're just ruminating about something, and it's a place of fear, or something's not working, or you're going to feel it in your body. And I want you to snap the rubber band hard enough so it stings, so that your brain gets the pattern interrupt. And then you're going to replace that thought. And you can do that in a multitude of ways. You can either literally take whatever you were thinking about, because you're going to recall that, and flip it and think about the exact opposite version. Or you're going to look at something on that toward wall list and just really feel it as though it is. What do you see? What do you hear? How does it feel to have that? Because the brain only needs 17 seconds of holding a thought with emotion to either create new neural pathways or reinforce the old ones. Now, as time goes on, day two, you are going to start snapping it more. And what you're going to notice is you're going to start realizing, oh, right, I'm, anxious, or I'm angry, or whatever it is. What was I thinking about? Oh, right. And what, oh, yeah, it was on that away wall list. Replace it. Now, you can also, if you don't have a list or you whatever, just it actually sit in gratitude for 30 seconds. But not like the Pollyanna, like I'm so grateful for my life. No, like something real right now. Like it's been raining here for days. So I'm so freaking grateful to see the sunshine today. I feel like I can breathe again, you know? And if you're still in it, I want you to ask yourself, who can I serve in this moment? And it doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. It can literally be a text to a friend. It can be that you notice that your neighbor's pot tipped over and the dirt fell out, whatever, and you're just gonna pick it up. Anything. It's just getting out of your head in service of someone else. Then you're gonna start snapping it more and more and more. The point of this is not to say, oh, you're not gonna have these thoughts anymore or these feelings. No, of course, we're human, right? We're not gonna have a lobotomy. The point is to not stay there. And the faster you can recognize it and pull yourself out of it and flip that into a high frequency, high vibration emotion, feeling, thought, it changes your physical environment. So it's so simple, and yet it's so powerful. And I can't even tell you how many people that I've had that said, I just thought this was the stupidest thing ever, like frankly. And then to go, I can't believe what changed in my life after
Yeah,
that.
it is hard because when you're in that, like what you said early on was so true. It reminded me of I've been watching The Dog Whisperer for some reason on YouTube. It just showed up and I've like been binging. It's so captivating. What's so captivating to your point though is how he'll go up to a dog owner, the dog's like super anxious, high energy, barking, possibly biting, whatever. And he'll say, you know, are you a, the person's always like, well, I'm a positive person. I can almost like state it. It's so many, I watched so many episodes. I see that theme. And then he's like, well, what's going through your mind when da da da? She goes, well, I'm always thinking like, what if this happens? Or I'm so nervous about if a dog comes and then my dog's going to overreact. And he's like, oh, so you're not really a positive person because you're already anticipating the bad thing happening and your anxiety is making your dog anxious. So like he'll walk the dog, complete calm energy, not anticipating anything, and the dog doesn't react. And the people are always like, oh my gosh, maybe it's true. I did have worry. It's just so subtle to us, you know, like that what you were saying in the beginning, how you don't know. You think you're optimistic, you practice being an intentional thinker, you have a vision board, you have all the things. But where we lose it is in that day-to-day putting it into practice moment by moment.
Right. And so that process, right? The clearing and the creating. So we get first, we get that clarity, and then we get to actually have a dysfunction detox and get rid of all that stuff that isn't serving you and with a variety of ways. But then you get to step into that question and answer that question. Okay, yes. Outside of the noise and the conditioning and the labels and the titles and like, who am I actually? And then we get to move into the create phase, and you get to start like feeling that and activating that. But then, really important is if we're going to blow out old strategy and neurology and behavior, well, we better replace it with something, right? And I think this is where so much work in this space fails. Super heavy on awareness and clarity, which is awesome. It's the foundation for anything. But if we don't replace what we've thrown out, then you're in this maddening loop of, great, now I get it. I had this like aha, what the hell do I do with it? The unconscious mind can't fill in blanks. So if we got rid of all the stuff that isn't good for us and we don't replace it with anything else, all it knows is to go back to what it knows. That's why people say, I've done the work for years. I've been in therapy for years. I felt so good about it. And then this thing happened and bam, I went reverted right back to the old whatever.
Yeah, that's what I liked about your process is you don't have to dig into the story and where did this come from and whatever, because I feel like we've all, gotten in touch with our inner child and done all the historical soul searching, past life regressions. I've been through it all,
All the
and it's like, okay, but then I'm still having the same problem. I did cut that cord. I'm telling you. You know what I mean, don't you?
I always say to people, if you haven't done all that, like go do that. I'm not your girl. When you've done all this stuff, come to me. And then we'll like, then we're gonna do this and we're not gonna go into the story. And we're gonna like put that back in. But then we get to the point where like, okay, we've got clear. We know who we are, what we want. We got rid of all the shit that wasn't working. And we've created new neurology. So now we're gonna look at, okay, so what is it that you want? Is it a, you know, in your business, in your relationship, a trip to Italy, doesn't matter. And we're going to reverse engineer that. So we're going to start at the end and the feeling of the second before you know it's true, what's going on, and micro step backwards. What do you have to do just before that? What do you have to do just before that? And at the top, it's really granular. It's like minutes and then hours, all the way back till today. And the reason that that's different than traditional, let's set some goals and great, I'm gonna, you know, by summer, I'm gonna do this thing. So, what do I have to do? And I write down the things, and I'm like, great. And then I never achieve it. And then it's just one more evidence that I never finish what I say or whatever our story is. But again, the unconscious mind can't fill in the blanks that way. So, you miss like 80% of the steps. But when we do it that way, you don't miss any of them. So, when life is coming at you and you're spinning out and you're like, I don't even know what my name is, let alone what to do next towards this goal, you have it all. But more importantly, then we're gonna take that and we're gonna install that on your timeline so that your brain gets to experience as though it's happened. Because the brain doesn't know the difference between something that's happened and something that you visualize with all the emotion, right? Which ignites the reticular activating system in the brain, which now becomes laser focused to actually be looking for the things that you wouldn't normally see to make sure that you actually get to accomplish that, achieve that, go on that trip, whatever it is. And then we get to move into the claim phase. And honestly, that's my favorite. So that's literally where you get to own it and embody it and integrate it. And again, in the owning it, you don't need any more external permission, justification, other people's opinion. Like you're good. And you've fallen in love with yourself again and you trust yourself and you can confidently hold boundaries and communicate your needs like an expert. And you've deepened the richness in every single relationship that you decide to keep. And then, when you integrate that into your business, your energy, your decisions, your relationships, then you get to just embody her and live and lead and love from this new frequency and just kind of magnetize with grace. And so, it's like this whole from this beginning piece of not having clarity to stepping into this version of you that actually gets to live the life that you want to live.
I love it. How do you help people to do that? I mean, like, do you work with them one-on-one or do you do groups or retreats or what? How do you?
So my work is all private because it's very individualized, right? The framework, the IP, the methodology stays the same, but every person is different. So yes, we go through all of those steps, but it's not group work. It's not like a coaching course or program or something like that. So it's very individualized work, but it's very fast. And I also, if you're in the Bay Area, ladies, come to the Brilliance Brunch, which is amazing space to be in person together. And then I'm probably going to do a retreat somewhere fabulous but probably in 27. But yeah, so my work is private, it's one-to-one, but the base of the work is like 8 weeks. It's not months and years.
Oh, really? Wow. 8 weeks. That's crazy. You don't hear that very often. Making a note for you because I have somebody I want to introduce you to. No, that's very cool. I think that's so you're saying basically people see a transformation in their state. I wouldn't say necessarily it's also in their whole life. Maybe it is. You tell me, but in 8 weeks, that's incredible, actually.
So here's what I will say. I always say it's 8 weeks. I'd like to design it around 8 sessions. It never actually happens, but here's why. It's usually like 9 or 10 because I'm going to have a plan for us, but you're going to come to our call and it's clear to me that you need something else. So we're going to set aside my plan and we're going to take care of whatever we need to take care of, right? So that's why it's usually, it's not rigid. I always allow for this is about you. This isn't about some module. And that piece really takes you through the whole clearing and the whole creating. And then there's other opportunities to continue in a relationship where we spend, the rest of the year together in that claiming. I also offer an incredible experience where you get to come and spend 2 nights and 3 days with me somewhere beautiful. And if you're an ocean girl like me, be at the beach. If you're a mountains girl in the cabin, we'll go to Tahoe, whatever it is. And we do a ton of this, but also wrapped in the things that make you feel taken care of. So I love touch. For me, it would be a massage every day. Or, whatever it is. So it's luxury, it's bougie, it's pampering. It's like you don't have to think about a single thing. You don't have to make any decisions. And we do like 6 weeks of the work in a couple of days, but this is not hard, painful work. You're not going to be crying. Like it's pretty painless. But what we get to accomplish in that short amount of time is extraordinary.
That sounds amazing. So, where do people connect with you to learn more about that?
Yeah, so my website, RihannaMalia.com, all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Rihanna Malia. But also, I would love to give your listeners a gift if that's okay.
Of course.
So I created a diagnostic assessment. Well, I didn't build it, the expert did it, but we based on my framework and my IP. And it's called, we lovingly call her the Ellie, but it stands for the Extraordinary Love Index. And let me be clear, it answers the question of what's standing between you and extraordinary love, but that doesn't just mean romantic love, right? A lot of it is here. And it goes through 9 key areas and it's 40 questions. So it's not a Disney princess quiz. Like, give yourself 10, 15 minutes to actually answer thoughtfully, because what's going to happen is then, based on all of your answers, I'm going to send you a 28-page personalized report that's going to show you. This is what you might be experiencing. This is what's showing up in your life. Here's the cost of staying there. Here's something that you can do right now to move yourself toward what it is that you say you want, right? Because ultimately, when we feel stuck or we feel like we're missing something, the question always is, well, what will you be doing or not doing differently than you're doing or not doing right now? And often we can't see what that is, so we don't know. So go take the Ellie. I actually look at all the results. It's fascinating. Like it's, I think 3,000 people taken it in the last 6 or 7 months. And it's just incredible insight for you. Like every human should take the Ellie. So that would be, I would love to give you that gift, and you can find that everywhere. In the socials, on the website, just look for the Ellie.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we'll be sure to link all of that in the show notes. And I gratefully appreciate you being here.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.